Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
God loves us so much, now listen, that he gave us his word. He really did. He gave us his word. And you'll think, oh, but come on. No, you know what? People's word, and it may have waned some through the generations, but people's word is that all. My word is all I have. Because with my word, listen, comes trust. And we trust people by what they say and then by following up in what they do. And that's who God is in our life. You know, the Bible, the Bibles that we have, how many of you guys brought your Bibles in here today? Anybody bring your Bibles? How many of you guys have a Bible? How many of you guys love the Word? Man, do you love the Word? Okay, we'll try it again, okay? Because I feel like I snuck up on you. Man, how many of you guys love the Word? Man, how many of you guys the Word? Okay, so listen, so now we've got the Word. Well, let me tell you about this Word. It's alive. And you know what? This Bible that you carry, this Bible that you read, the Bible that we preach, God's in it. God's in the Word. In John 1:1, John writes, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. So we start our lives, see, that's how it works. See, God's a God of order, and there's an order to this, that we keep God first. And you'll say, okay, man, I put God first. Practically, what does that mean? What are the action steps to putting God first? We put God first by putting his word first. And see, ironically, that we have a life of senses, and our senses are so strong. Man, we see things, and you know, there's people, agnostic people, that they have to see it to believe it. But I think a lot of Christians are like that too. See, a lot of people that think they're trusting God still have a mindset that they've got to see it to believe it. But in doing so, what ends up happening is that we begin to trust our senses. And when we trust our senses, now the facts matter. Now the facts become the pivotal part of our lives. It's like, okay, man, I'm believing God for a raise. I'm believing God for a good report from that doctor. I'm believing God for a... No, let me just tell you, the bottom line is this. No matter what that report is, no matter what kind of money that you make at your job, I'm telling you, the Bible says everything you put your hand to prospers. The Bible also says all your need is met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible said he sent his word and healed us. He sent us his word, listen, and healed us and delivered us of all of our destructions. Doesn't matter what kind of report you get now. Does that make sense? The report matters to your senses. And see, here's what's interesting about our senses. Our senses work independent of each other. You know, you might walk into a room and something's mildewed. You might not be able to see it, but you can smell it. You walk in and go, oh my gosh, something's mildewed. And you're like, how do you know? Did you see something? No, I smelled it. But how do you know? But then when you end up seeing, so our sense of smell works independent of our sight. It works independent of our hearing, or what we feel. You know, and a lot of times, now listen, and I'll tell you where real hope in this is there's people that are blind. And you know what? Man, they could tell the difference between a one and a five and a 10 and a $20 bill. Just by how it feels and the size of it. It's uncanny. I don't have that kind of precision feeling with my hands. But you know what they do? Because what happens, now listen, is because they can't see, that it enhances that sense of feel that they have. Now see, now what if, okay, if our senses truly, which I believe they do, and you guys, it makes sense, it's scientific, that our senses work independent of each other. Now listen, our faith works independent of our senses. Write that down. Your faith works independent of your senses. So now, no matter what you see, no matter how you feel, no matter what you hear, you're going to trust God's word. What do you have faith in? I have faith in God. So then, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. We have faith in his word. See, that's where we put our trust. We put our trust in God's word. And we can't ever separate God from his word. Man, you want to know who God is? Get to know his word. You want to know what God's up to? Get to know his word. You want to know what God's about? You want to know what God blesses? Do you know what God's, where God's heart is? Do you know what God's, you know what, you want to know what thoughts, God's thoughts are? Get to know his word. You know, because there's people who'll say, well, you could never know what God's going to do. I think that's the farthest thing from the truth. The Bible says that God even so much as takes counsel in his word. Man, what's he going to do? He's going to do what his word says he's going to do. He's going to be faithful to his word. How do we know God's faithful? God's faithful because he performs his word. His word never returns void of power. It always accomplishes what he has sent it to accomplish. And see, do you understand that this is pivotal for us? In Joshua 1:8, God says, look, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it on the tip of your tongue. Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now listen to this. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. I don't know what kind of plan for success that you have. I don't know what your plan for prosperity is. I don't know if you're one of those people where it's like, you know, man, this prosperity thing, we can't take it too far. I don't think we can take it far enough. Write that down. Quote me on that. I don't think we can take prosperity far enough. The world is going to hell at breakneck speed. Man, people are making decisions that are governing over us. Then you know what? It's time for us to begin to speak the word with the power and the authority that God's called us to speak it in. And see, we've got to understand that. Man, but see, I think there's too many people that are sitting back and they're twiddling their thumbs, waiting for God to do something. God, when are you going to take care of this mess in Syria? God, what about Iran? God, what about Wall Street? God, what about Washington? God, what about, and let me just tell you something. Everything that God is ever going to do, he's already done. Do you know what God is? Finished. It's finished. He gave his son Jesus. He lived a life of purity without sin, without blemish. He was beaten. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And he rose from the dead. And you know what? When he rose from the dead, guess what? If we were crucified with him, we also rise with him. And you'll say, well, but wait a second. I don't feel like, no. Hey, would you stop? If you could, quit taking into effect how you feel, what you've heard, what you've seen. I don't have to see it to believe it. All I've got to do is find it in God's word. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. You want a success plan? Man, you go back up to the top of that verse. Man, you keep it in front of your eyes, on the tip of your tongue. You meditate in it day and night. Let me tell you, how many of you guys would give whatever you had? You'd give up whatever you had for a personal visit with Jesus. Anybody? Is there, well, God, what would you give? Would you, man, if we're selling tickets for a personal visit with Jesus, you understand? You meditating in his word is a personal visit with him. Man, you want to ramp yourself up out of depression? You got to spend time with Jesus. How do you do that? You meditate in his word. Well, I've read it, and I don't get it. It doesn't say, listen, look here. Where does it say to read it? It says keep it in front of you. It says meditate in it. That word meditate is to have it so rich, sown into your heart, that as you're walking, you're muttering it. And you know what? Where people think you might be crazy. How many guys have walked by anybody that maybe was out on the street and they're just talking, they're just muttering? Man, they're not making any sense. They're just muttering. It doesn't make any sense. Well, you know what? Man, we've got to be those kind of people that God is so rich in our lives. That it's like, you know what? It's crazy because I'm putting my trust in what I can't see. I'm putting my trust in what I can't feel. I'm putting my trust in what I know of God. And it's an intimate knowing of what we know of God. In John 8 and the 31st verse, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, You're my disciples indeed. See, we've got to live in the Word. There is life in the Word. We've got to live in God's Word. We can't live in, well, look, we can't live in the economic report the world's given us. Man, what are you going to do? I don't know what to do with my money. I can't trust it. You know what? Man, I'm not counting on storing up a bunch of stuff here on earth. Yeah, but you know what? What about a rainy day? I am a big proponent of you living with margins and trusting God. I'm just telling you. Man, a doomsday attitude's not going to work. What you've got to do is you've got to put all of your trust in God. Well, you know what? The doctor's report was this. And it's like, you know what? Hey, you know what? Thank those doctors. You appreciate the science. You appreciate their knowledge. You appreciate their experience and their expertise. But you put your trust in God. See, I'm not telling you not to use medicine. I'm not telling you not to go to doctors. I'm not telling you not to invest. I am telling you to keep your trust in God. Put your trust in God's word. You keep God first in your life. No matter how you feel, no matter what your situation might be. Man, right now, let me just tell you, I have seen it way too many times. I could have Sandy come up and join me tonight, and we could tell you story after story after story after story of quick, almost immediate turnarounds in people's lives. People's lives financially, people's lives. Well, you know what? We can't have a baby. Doctor said we're gonna be barren. We can't have a baby. We're brokenhearted. Man, we can't have, and the next thing you know, man, they've got teenagers and grown kids now. When you can't have a baby, let me just tell you, whose report are you gonna believe? Are you gonna believe the report of the Lord? And that's God's word, that you put your trust in God's word. See, and so much of this, people will come and they'll visit a church and they'll say, well, man, I don't know. I saw some negative things. It's like, yeah, if you're looking for them, you're going to find them. Trust me, at a church, I've been to most of them. But if you're looking for the positive things, man, what's the vision of the church? Man, the vision of this church is to help you win. And you'll say, well, what does winning mean? Winning means winning. Winning means overcoming. See, that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is about overcoming. Man, if you get a if all it looks like is bad news, you know what? Man, that's, you know what? I think bad news is fine until you put your trust in it. You put your trust in that bad news. Let me just tell you, I got good news. Bad news is on the horizon, but you know what? God's given you that overcoming nature that was in his son Jesus for you to overcome no matter what. It doesn't matter to me what enemy you're facing. I'm telling you, God's word is bigger. God's word is stronger. God is well able. See, and that's how we have to look at him. In John, I need my glasses here. The sixth chapter and the 63rd verse, I love this. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. Oh my gosh. If you're struggling, if you got a struggling area, don't raise your hands. But how many of you guys are struggling in an area? I mean, where you're struggling. And it's wearing me out. I'm telling you, you've got to find God's promise. You've got to find God's word. You've got to, and let me tell you, you could go to dial a pastor and get a word, or you could go through the drive-through window. Where's our drive-through window, Eric? There's a drive-through window. You go through the drive-through window. It's got a little voice box. It says, can I help you? And you'll say, man, I'm struggling with dope. I'm struggling with drugs. Brian, you understand that? Struggle with dope. And you know what? You go through the drive-through window and they say, hey, okay, that'll be great. That'll be 10 bucks. You can pay at the first window. And the second window, you can pick up your relief. That's not how this happens. How this happens is you find the promise that God can give you. I'll tell you what's huge for me. I'm living my life and I'm thinking, okay, I'm brand new Christian. And the only word that I knew was that I was a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you guys know that verse? Okay, Paul wrote it to the church at Corinth. And it hit me and was engraved and engrafted in my life and engraved in my heart. I haven't forgotten it to this day. I can't tell you where my car keys are right now, but I haven't lost that word. I'm telling you why it's alive. And okay, so I get that word, but then I'm thinking, okay, this is gonna be hard because I didn't know anything about temptation. I just knew that I was a sinner, and then I wasn't. But I didn't know how to live as not being a sinner. I only knew how to live as being a sinner. Anybody can relate to that? So I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm not a sinner. I don't know how to live not as a sinner. I didn't know that I was a Christian. I didn't know that I was a believer. I just knew that I wasn't a sinner anymore. And I'm a new creation in Christ. Okay? So now, how am I going to do this? How am I going to not live that life? And for you, it might be a life of worry. For you, your temptation may be worry. It might be a life of speaking doubt or an unbelief, and that's your temptation. I didn't know about temptation. All I knew about was sin. And you know what? I walked up on these people that were looking at a Bible, and I was so fascinated that they could find things in that book because they didn't have it on a smartphone. They had it in a big, thick book. Little thin pages that made it thicker than I even thought it was, because the pages were like, I felt those pages like this. I'm like, somebody's like, what does he do with that Bible page? I'm like, look how thin this is and how thick this Bible is. It's crazy. I'm probably the only one that ever thought that. How am I ever going to learn this? I wasn't a reader. I wasn't a studier. I'd never been a student. Okay, So I walk out to this guy's truck, and these two guys and this girl were talking. And they said, they were talking about God's promise. And here I am, a brand new Christian. I walked out, and I said, they said, you know what? All of us have to live on a promise. I said, the promise I need is just that I learn how to live a life without sin. And the guy goes, oh, it's easy. He flips a couple pages, and he points to this verse. And I read this verse that says, God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able. But in it, will provide an avenue of escape. I'm telling you what's amazing is that night I went to a party. All this party stuff going on, okay? I was fluid in that life. I knew that life well, but I knew that I wasn't that guy anymore. I didn't really know what I'd caught. I didn't really know who I was then. My identity was kind of in flux at that time. And I'm thinking, I'm a new creation, whatever the heck that, I'm not that old guy, that's passed away. But here's all this stuff. And I don't know about you guys, but dope smelled good. See, people that go, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Is that marijuana? I have to not breathe. I hold my breath for a while because I don't want to even think that it smells good. Okay, but here I am. I'm at this party, and this bong is being passed around, and there's these layers of smoke in the room, and I'm just standing there like this. It's like, wow. And you know what I started doing? I started going like this. I'm not kidding you, and I'm not doing this. Sometimes I do dramatic things to be funny. I'm not doing that right now. I'm looking around. I've got to look like a moron, okay? And I'm looking around this room. If somebody would have come up and asked me, Shear, what are you doing? I'm looking for that avenue of escape is what I'm doing, because God will promise an avenue of escape. And you know what? Right as I was looking around, this heathen sinner friend of mine said, hey, Shear, let's get out of here. And I'm telling you, next thing I knew, I was out the door and I was gone and on my way home. It's almost like, God, are you kidding me? Is it this easy? Can I help you? Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. For the word of God, Hebrews, for the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able. Let me say it's able. Man, say it again. And it's able. And it's sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner. This is the big one. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. I'll tell you what God's going to do. He's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders. Why? We go back up to the very first, God's in his word. See, we're talking about the word being alive. And we're thinking, okay, this is cool. God's word's alive, right? It's living and powerful. That's not my kind of living. That's not the richest guy on the planet's way of living. That's the God way of living. You hear me? It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper. God's able. Man, God's going to make it happen. The word has the authority of God in it now. That's what's awesome. What do you need? What are you dealing with in your life? Man, how many of you guys are just, and again, if you want to, you can raise your hands, but I'm not asking you to, but I am asking, it's not a rhetorical question. I want you to seed this in your heart. How many of you guys are living month to month and hand to mouth and barely getting by? That's not the will of God in your life. Let me tell you. Man, we can go back, and what did the word say? Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. How? You got to meditate in that word day and night. Man, the word has the authority of God in it now. Now, what does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now faith is. Now faith is. It has the righteousness of God in it. See, there's people that, man, it's hard because the devil tries to deceive you into thinking that you're not the righteousness of God. You're no better than you were before. How many of you guys have to deal with that? Man, we're the deceiver. You'll have thoughts like, well, I'm no better than I was before. It has the God's word has his righteousness in it. That's how we identify with his right standing. That's how I know that his righteousness is prevailing in my life, that I'm right with God. Why? Because his word's alive. His word's powerful. It has the righteousness of God in it. It has the recreative power of God for people that don't know him. Man, you're wondering how to win the people that are in your life that you have a heavy heart for. Man, you know what you do? You trust God's word. You speak God's word in season and out of season. You might say, well, I've got grown kids and they're living like hell. You know something? I'm telling you what, they are not bigger. They are not tougher. They are not more resilient. They are not stronger than God and his word. You hear me? I mean, there's hope, and there's always hope. It has recreating power. Man, we serve a God. Here's what the Bible says. We serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. We don't serve a God that gives life to people that are sinking. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. Do you understand? Jesus said to open up that grave from Lazarus, his friend, Mary and Martha's brother. And they said, oh my gosh, he's been in there for days. He surely stinks by now. And Jesus said, open it up. Jesus walked over to the front of that grave. He walked over and he said this, Lazarus, come forth. And you know, I thought about why did he just go to that singular grave and say, come forth? Because there was so much power. You ready for this? There was so much power in his voice, in his word, that every person who had ever died up to that point would have come out of the grave. So you know what he had to identify? He had to say, Lazarus. He had to be specific. And I'm telling you, that's what I encourage you, I recommend for you to be specific with God's promise in your life and not take it as, well, it's general, it's for everybody. No, God wrote this for me. I mean, that's how I looked at it in my life as a relatively new Christian. You want to know how I made it 36 years and change to still be serving God, still be trusting him, still be trusting his word. Man, I could be disillusioned by now. I could be completely disappointed by now by everything that I've experienced and everything I've seen, but I'm not. Why? Because I put the ultimate value of my heart in God's word. I didn't value anything above that. And see, that's where we have to be. God's word is healing power to the sick. That's what it is. God designed it for sick people. The blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. That's who the gospel is designed for. The good news. Man, you might be here and you might say, well, man, I try to read the word and I just don't get it. Maybe you're blind. I'm not saying you can't see. Maybe you just can't see God's power in it. Maybe you just can't see God's life in it. So what does God do? He gives sight to the blind. See, I think that this is, it's really too easy. Jesus said, my yoke, my teaching, my ministry format is easy. My burden, what you're going to have to carry, it's going to be light. See, there's too many people that think that, oh my gosh, this ministry is such a heavy burden. Yeah, if you're doing it in the arm of the flesh, you're doing it on your own. Jesus promised that, man, his yoke, his teaching, his ministry format, how he lays it out, it's easy. His burden, light. Oh my gosh, that's a good word for me, huh, Sandy? Man, I'll tell you, because it's like, oh, man, we got so much going on. There's so much vision in this church right now. I'll tell you, it's crazy for me. It really is. Man, it's shocking. And can I give you a good word? Can I give you some encouragement? Can I give you some encouragement today? How many of you guys want some encouragement? There's fresh vision in this church that's going to be a lot of money. And you might say, oh my gosh, well, I believe that provision follows vision. I believe that money follows people. Now, this is good news for you guys that are part of this church, and I'm your pastor, is that money follows people. There's vision in this church that God has to resource the church, and he's going to resource the church through people. Like the Houstons may have the best year they've ever had in 2016. Listen, simply because vision has been cast. You hear me? I'm just telling you, simply because, oh my gosh, this vision, this is crazy. Man, I'm catching some traction. I'm getting a gear. But it's like, oh my gosh. And you know what? I'll tell you what's changed in the last 23 years of Pastor Sandy and I being involved in the life of this church. What's interesting is I don't bear any of the stress or burden. And I did. When we moved to this property, we had a $10,000 a month deficit, $20,000 a month deficit regularly. It was like an anvil on my chest. And then you know what? I was thinking, man, if I just let the staff go, man, we could do this. Sandy, just me and you. We could, these other guys, man, that staff, they could fend for themselves. They could go get jobs and volunteer. They could go, we'll have an all-volunteer job, just do it. Man, and I'm trying to take care of by the arm of the flesh. And this barely saved business guy who's since moved and he lives in Dallas now. And if he's watching, I'm very appreciative. He said, whoa, what are you going to do? I said, man, I think I'm going to let the staff go today. Man, I'd made that decision. And he said, no, you're not. He said, what would you tell me to do? I knew. I said, man, trust God. He said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and encourage that staff. We're going to trust God. This guy barely had bumped into Jesus on the escalator at the mall. He didn't know Jesus he's talking to me about this. Let me just tell you, don't tell me this stuff isn't real. I'm telling you, this faith, and I got a few more things. God's word is fuel to us. It's the bread of life. You guys ever heard of that? It's fuel to believers. And too often we walk by our senses. We walk by what we see. And you know what it does? It takes the reality away from the word. Man, you believe the report, it pulls the words, what's real. And the reality of the word gets sucked out when we start looking at what we see and take, and that becomes the pivotal thing. I'll just tell you, I was wondering today if I wanted to say this. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to. This is it. The word takes on all that our faith will demand. Whatever your faith demands. And you know, I know there's people out there that'll say, well, you're putting a demand on God. I'm putting a demand on his promise. I'm putting a demand on his word. Putting a demand on God? No. Trust me, I know who God is. I know who I am. But I know he sent his word. I know I'm delivered. I know I'm healed. I know I'm set free. I know the bondage the enemy has tried to deceive me into shackling up in my life, that it's not. The word takes on all that our faith demands. Man, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many times did Jesus look at somebody and said, your faith has made you well? That you, your sight, you see now because of your faith. Man, whatever that you can believe for, you can have. All you have to do is be able to speak it. And I'm telling you, that one time, everybody say one time. Say it again. It doesn't require a bunch of repetition. That one time, guess what? It makes it happen. And all you have to do is buy into that word. You buy into what God, what the trust that you put in God, in that promise that God has given you. See, this is the kind of church that I believe America is crying out for today. I believe it's what Tulsa's crying out for. I believe it's what people are crying out for. People that'll take a stand on God's promise and not cower, not flinch, not blink. Man, I'll tell you, the church to me has been, man, we've just been a team of flinchers. Well, you know what? Man, you look at Daniel, you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You look at David. Who's that uncircumcised God, uncircumcised man who defies my God? He's big, but he's not God. See, and you look at it, you'll think, well, man, David, did he have the thought maybe he's going to be too big to whip? No, he had the thought he's too big to miss. See, Eric's read recently, man, David was a marksman with that sling. He's like, man, that's an easy target for me to hit. The word takes on all that our faith demands. Matthew 9:22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well that very hour. Mark 10:52, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Luke 7:50, then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Matthew 17:20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed and you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, nothing will be impossible for you. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed and you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, it would obey you. I'm saying here, every one of you guys has a measure of faith. That determining that faith being weak or that faith being strong is how you exercise it. How you exercise your faith is how you put it into action in your life. You guys all know about exercise mentally and exercise physically. Man, there's people that, man, that are great, man, that you're in the SAT test, their college entrance test, there's people that do great. You know why? Man, they have exercised their mind and they've held true to what they've learned, and man, they've sown it in their hearts. Well, that same thing about God's word. Man, we put God's word and then we apply it, we put it into action by truly believing it and then speaking it. It'll never return void of power. It will always accomplish what God has sent it to do. Every single time. And you know what? If you want to be one of those people that you're saying, well, what about? You're putting your trust, you're putting your belief in that what about. And the world is broken and fallen. The enemy is defeated, and all he can, you know what the enemy's defeat means? How many guys believe that the devil's defeated? How many guys believe that Jesus went to hell and defeated death in the grave? How many guys believe that? Raise your hand if you do, because I want to make this clear. If you believe that, he has no weaponry other than the lies he can author. He's the father of lies. So all he can do is try to deceive you. Nobody likes me. I don't fit in. Man, I'll tell you, it's like, I mean, God is so amazing when we don't buy into the lies that are contrary to God loving us, God calling us, God establishing us. But you know what? If you let this your past dictate how you are and how you think and what you expect, it's not going to work. I believe everything's about a new start. I believe everything's about a begin again. I believe everything is about us being a new creature, a new man today. I'm new. The man you knew yesterday, the man you knew last month, that's not who I am. And see, we can make those kind of decisions. We can set ourselves on God's word and take a stand on God's word no matter what happened this morning, what happened yesterday. I'm telling you, it changes everything. Man, let's go back to that very last point. That very last point that the word takes on all that our faith demands. Man, put a demand on God's promise. Man, don't be weak in faith. Man, don't be one of those people that if God's promised it in his word, that you say, well, God, if it's your will, are you kidding me? Man, how him being a Heavenly Father, if you had a great father on this earth, how much more, how much better is your Heavenly Father? Well, I just don't want to be, I don't want to be too expectant. I don't want to get my hopes up. You know what I say? I say you get your hopes up. I'm not kidding you. I say you let your hopes go wild and back it up with God's promise.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.